Hey, who woke up this morning and thought to themselves, gee, I'm looking forward to some conflict in my life? No, I didn't think so. Who woke up this morning and had some conflict? No, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. But probably some of the people who have come to church this morning, you had some harsh words between husband and wife or with the kids, or there's been a little bit of conflict. There's always somebody who comes to church who's had some conflict in their lives. Conflict is tearing families apart in this country. I want to give you some statistics. In 2013, 118,962 marriages were registered in Australia. In 2013, 47,638 divorces were registered. That is a ratio of exactly 40%, almost half as many divorces as marriages in this country. And don't please tell me that it can't happen to you because you're a Christian, because it can, and it does. In fact, the statistics of divorce inside the church and outside the church in this country are almost exactly the same. Hearts don't harden overnight. Hearts harden over time. They harden through repeated conflict in the home that ultimately tears families apart. Please God, no one else in this. Please God. The median duration for a marriage in this country, what do you reckon it is? Okay. Morrison's, how long have you been married? 52. But who's counting? 50, anyone longer than 52 and a bit years? How many? Yeah, there we go. You want to know what the median length of a marriage is between marriage and divorce in this country? This is going to stag you. 12.1 years. It's really sad. There are no stats about unhappy marriages. There are no stats about husbands and wives who never talk to each other. There are no stats about children who have gone off the rails and started on... There are no stats about that. But all of that comes from conflict in the home. Now, you put sinful people in close proximity to one another, and you're just going to have conflict, right? There's nothing you can do about it. There is going to be conflict. And today we're going to talk about how do you deal with conflict at home. In this series that that Peter started a few weeks ago called Home Improvements, we're now up to dealing with conflict. Conflict, when you think about it, is all about boundaries. See, people push our buttons. You know what it's like. Anyone who's been married for any length of time, you know exactly how to push the button of your husband or wife, right? You know what's going to upset them. And so someone pushes our button and we just get angry and we have conflict. But we rarely think about why is that happening and how can I not have the conflict, or at least have less conflict, or at least deal with conflict in a godly way in my marriage, in my family, in my home. Conflict is about people stepping over boundaries. When those terrorists flew those planes into the World Trade Center on 9/11, what did they do? They stepped over a sovereign boundary. And so America retaliated with horrible force. Terrible force. They bombed the living daylights out of Afghanistan. They did a whole bunch of other things. That conflict arose because one party stepped over the boundaries of another party. Ukraine. Exactly the same problem. How many wars are going on in Africa at the moment? About 30-something wars in Africa at the moment. It's all about boundaries. It happens with teams and tribes too. In Northern Ireland, you know the Orange Men once a year march through Dublin in Northern Ireland, right? And that causes enormous conflict between the Protestants and the Catholics. It's all about boundaries. Of course, conflict is something we find quite entertaining too. Sport is exactly about conflict. Johnny Morrison was telling me he went to watch the rugby yesterday. And what's the rugby about? It's about this team and that team fighting each other for the ball so they can take the ball and step over the other one's try line and put it down. So to some extent, we find conflict a little bit entertaining as well. Sport would be really boring if there was no conflict. And it happens with individuals. There are things that drive you nuts. And the things that drive you nuts are different to the things that drive me nuts. If you want to drive me nuts, I'm just telling you how to do this, be consistently late for me, all right? Be consistently late for meetings and you are guaranteed to drive me nuts. I was punished once at Duntroon at the Royal Military College for being 2 minutes early and not 5 minutes early. So, if it's all about boundaries, what I want to talk about today is the three important things that we need to understand about boundaries so that we can have less conflict in our home. The first one is, what are the boundaries that we set? And the Bible reading that Marion just brought us is all about the boundaries that we set. What are the boundaries that we breach, and how do we react when someone steps over one of our boundaries and breaches our boundaries? What are the boundaries set? What are the boundaries that we breach, and how do we react when someone steps over our boundaries and breaches our boundaries? If you have a Bible, please open it with me, Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 21. Marion began reading from verse 22, which is rather serendipitous, because this is one of the most unpopular, one of the most politically incorrect Bible passages that you will ever find in this country. Maybe I've just got a death wish. I decided to preach on this one today. Wives, submit to your husbands, to your own husbands, as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. What do you do with that in the 21st century in Australia? If we're Bible-believing Christians, if we say we believe God's word is inspired by the Holy Spirit, what exactly do we do with that little passage in 21st century Australia, where when this was written, women were chattels, they were possessions. A woman couldn't own land. If a woman's husband died, the rest of the family had to take her in because she never had any assets. Women had no rights. That's the era that this was written in. And what a lot of Christians do is they take this particular passage and they strike it out of their Bibles because they say it's not relevant to us in the 21st century. Hey, that's a pretty scary to do, to strike something out of your Bible. I believe that God put this in here for a reason. And I believe that as Bible-believing, Jesus-loving, Holy Spirit-filled Christians, we need to understand what God means to say to us today in the 21st century through this unpopular scripture. This is one of the scriptures that has just been banned from being used in high schools, in scripture class, because people say this teaches male dominance. We quote this scripture out of context and we say this is all about male dominance. I'm going to show you today that this has nothing to do with male dominance. Even the devil can take a scripture and quote it out of context and turn it into a lie. Amen? And that's what people do with this scripture. I want to go back to the verse before. Ephesians 5:21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. This passage, this chapter, teaches us about mutual submission. There is submission involved from the man as well in this passage. It's different to the submission asked for of the woman. So rather than deal with the submission of the woman first, because I know that's a little bit touchy, let's go to the submission required of the man. Come with me down to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. And men, this is for you. I want you to hear this before we hear about the submission required of a woman in a marriage. Ephesians 5:25, I can quote it to you because this scripture is on my heart as a husband. I don't execute it every day. Ask Jackie. I don't execute it every day perfectly. I wish I could, but I'm a sinner just like you. But this particular scripture is on my heart. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Did everybody get a copy of that booklet that I was handing out when you came in? Did you grab a copy of that booklet? Did you see the gruesome picture on the front of that booklet? This booklet is called Seeing Your Loved Ones Come to Christ. I'd encourage you to grab a copy of that booklet. It's free, gift from me to you. But look at the picture on the front of the booklet. And we debated a lot when we were publishing this booklet a few years ago. Should we put this gruesome picture on the front of this booklet? Is it going to offend people? And ultimately, I made a call to CIO, as CEO, and I said, yes, it is going to offend people, and it should offend people because the cross is an offense. The cross is an injustice. Jesus should not have been nailed to that cross. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. How many husbands know that some days loving your wife ain't easy? She's different. Rich has put his hand up. Beth's about to slap him. It isn't. I have the most beautiful wife on the planet. Sorry, guys, but I do. And some days loving my Jackie isn't easy. Some days the hormones are going. Some days they're just cranky. Some days they see things differently to you. And you go, man, why can't you just be right and see it my way? For those men who are old enough whose wife has gone through menopause, you will know that that is a really interesting time in life. That's not an easy time in life for men. And every time it hurts, it's like a nail piercing your hand. And in that moment, you are to love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Amen? That is the call on the men in this room. That is what it means to be a Christian husband. It means taking the pain and getting up the next morning and loving her just as though the pain had never occurred. Tell me this is about male domination, please. No. This is about God's blueprint for getting rid of the conflict in our marriages, or at least managing the conflict that's going to happen in a godly way. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. Who knows that when you have a bunch of men at a business meeting around about lunchtime, unless you put sandwiches on the table, there's not going to be a meeting because they're all going to be hungry and they can't think when they're hungry. Who knows that? Who knows that at the dinner table, mum is much more likely to take food off her plate and put it on the kids' plate than dad is, because dad's hungry and he wants to eat his food. We men are very good at looking after our own bodies. I have to tell you, if you're at my place for dinner, I ultimately get tired. I'm a morning person, 3:30 a.m. starter. Come 9:30, I'm sorry, you've got to go home. I just can't when I'm tired. Men are very good at looking after their own bodies. Here, Paul is speaking into that true fact, and he's saying, love your wives as you love your own body. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does for the church. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own body. Two of you are one flesh. As much as you look after yourself, you are meant to look after your wife. Interesting book. Do you remember a few months ago, last year actually, Peter talked about a book called Kiss Me Like You Mean It. Who remembers that? Kiss Me Like You Mean It. It was about bringing the passion back in your marriage. Listen to what it says about women. Nearly every wife would list unconditional love, protection and security, and emotional connect in her top five needs. Unconditional love. That's this kind of love, people. That's love when it hurts. That's love when it's not convenient. That's love when you don't feel like it. That's the love she wants from you. Is it fun? No, it's not. But my aim, I want to grow old and dotty with that. Right? I want to grow old and dotty and toothless and batty with my wife because I love her. Now let's go back to wives. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. As the church submits to Christ, you also, wives, should submit to your husbands in everything. I don't know how it works in your 21st century marriage, but in our 21st century marriage, we make most decisions together, right? We make most decisions together. Sometimes we disagree. You're always going to be sometimes when you disagree. And sometimes I say, you know what? I'm not always right. Jackie, I'll go with what she said. And other times, as the husband and the father, I put my foot down and say, no, actually, I want it to go this way. And at that point, based on this scripture, I expect my wife to say, fair enough. I may not like it. I may not agree with you, but you're the head of the house. It's your job to make that decision. I love the way in verse 33, how you get an executive summary of all of this. However, each one of you must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect the husband. A few weeks ago, Peter talked about a man's need for respect. Women, please listen to me. Listen really carefully. I will repeat to you what Peter said and what I know is true and every man in this room knows is to be true. Respect and honor are the most important form of love that your husband needs. Respect and honor are the most important forms of love that your husband needs. When you respect and honor him, respect says, he is my husband. Honor is, I will live it out by behaving as though that respect is true. When you do that, when you respect and you honor your husband, he will receive that into his heart as love. Women, that may not make sense to you because that's not the sort of love that you need, but it's the sort of love that he needs. In fact, let me go back to that book on exactly the same page. Respect, honor, and physical intimacy are the three most important needs of a husband. When he has respect and honor and the expression of love through physical intimacy, he receives those things as love and feels love in his heart. If he doesn't get those things, he may know that he's loved in his head, but he doesn't experience the love in his heart. These are profoundly different things. Now, this guy who wrote this book, Kiss Me Like You Mean It, he's a counselor. He's counseled thousands of couples. He's done lots of research. He's done all this research. And you know what? He's come up exactly with what Ephesians chapter 5 says about husbands and wives. As though God didn't know this when the Holy Spirit inspired the Word of God. So, go back to it. Verse 21. Oh, my computer's doing strange things here. Verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Do this for Jesus. Mutual submission, but in different ways. Now the children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Excuse me. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. People, one of the things that the younger generation is missing out on is being taught how to honor their father and their mother. You may have heard me say this before. Out of the Ten Commandments, the first four are about you and God. The next one is about honoring your father and your mother. I may not have even put it in there. You may not have even put it in there as a commandment. But the very first commandment after you and God is honor your father and your mother. Parents, you have a duty of care to your children to teach them that there are boundaries that they cannot step over, that there are consequences to stepping over those boundaries, and they need to honor their father and their mother. Jackie and I were in a cafe last year. The cafe's closed now. And there was a mother on the phone, mobile phone. She had a little two-year-old, and the kid's got a cup. Bang, 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 bang with a cup on the saucer. I'm thinking, this is going to shatter in a minute. This kid's going to get injured. Mum was oblivious. Bang, bang, bang. And then when we walked out, there was so much food on the table, I swear it could have fed a family of five. And I felt like saying to the mother, I didn't. Jackie doesn't like it when I do this. I felt like saying to the mother, that kid's going to be a teenager one day. That kid is going to grow up one day. And if you don't do it now, boy, oh boy, you're going to have problems. Here is a blueprint in this passage, Ephesians 5:25. Through to 6:4, about how to get some boundaries right in your relationship within your families to reduce the amount of conflict that goes on. You can either dismiss me as a crackpot and say, Bernie, you're stuck in the 18th century, this is irrelevant, or you can say, you know what, this makes some sense to me. This is the living Word of God. I may not agree with the Word of God, but you know what, I'm going to do the Word of God. See, the truth from the Bible is going to hurt you some days. I guarantee you. The truth from the Bible is going to hurt you some days. But here's what the Bible will never do. The Bible will never comfort and console you with lies like the world. It'll always tell you the truth. And some days the truth hurts. Come with me to Ephesians chapter 2, please. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 5. Now, we know this passage pretty well, but we often read it out of context. Ephesians 2, 5. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ, who, being the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be used to his own advantage, But rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus, at which every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Did you notice the first bit? In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, which is the mindset of a servant, the mindset of someone who doesn't have to win. You know that beautiful song, Hallelujah, right, that they're all singing now? It's a really beautiful song. There's a line in there that always jumps out at love is not a victory. Love is not about winning. In fact, the moment you win, you've lost, because love is never about winning. If we were to take that blueprint and apply it to our family, I wonder how different things would be. If we took each one of us as a husband or a wife or a mother or a father or a grandparent or an auntie or an uncle or whatever you are, if we took this blueprint and applied it to our lives, how different would our families be and how much less conflict there? So I've talked about the boundaries that we set. What about the boundaries that we breach? We're sinful people. We're going to get up close. And the thing is with families, the closer you are for the longer you are, the more someone's weaknesses and failures annoy you, right? It's like a Chinese water torture, like a dripping tap, right? It happens over and over again. You have your foibles. I have my foibles. You want to know my foibles? Ask Jackie. She knows them intimately. And those foibles are going to rub people up the wrong way. Can't help it. We're all different. We have different personality types. A few years ago, some of you know this book. I wrote a book called My Personality GPS, based on the motivational giftings in Romans chapter 12 verses 4 to 8. It was about trying to find out who God made you to be. And so what I did is I got one of each of the personality types, or motivational giftings as they're called in Romans, and got them in a radio studio and I interviewed them. I asked them all the same questions and I was gobsmacked at how different their responses were to the same questions, because God had made them differently. I kind of knew that we're all different. We all know that we're all different. We know that. But our default position is you must be like me in order to be right. I see things the way I see things, and if you don't see things the way I see things, well, you must be wrong. No, just different. Just made differently by God. And so Jackie and I can look at the same problem and see it totally differently. And if you let that can ruin your relationship. Have you noticed how opposites attract? In every marriage, almost, there's a tidy person and a messy person. There's a person who wants to squeeze the toothpaste from the bottom and a person who wants to squeeze the toothpaste from the top. There's a person who likes to spend money and a person who likes to save money. There's a person who's on time and there's a person who's never on time. Have you noticed this? This is God's sense of humor. This is God's blessing to us. This is no surprise to God, by the way. I want to take you, I think, to the most powerful scripture about this today. Romans chapter 12, verses 9. What do you do when someone has different perspectives to you and you just want to go and be you? I want to be me. I'm me. I want to live the way I want to live. No boundaries, right? And so you just go and step over this other person's boundaries all the time. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. Love must be sincere. Hate what's evil. Cling to what's good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. I just want to pick up that last sentence. Honor one another above yourself. Literally what the original Greek there means is outdo each other in honoring each other. It's like a little competition. I'm going to honor you more than you can ever honor me. I'm going to love you more than you can ever love me. And when you don't deserve it, I'm going to love you anyway. And when you do deserve it, I'm going to love you more. If we took that one sentence to heart, and see, I believe that the Word of God is more powerful than anything I can ever say. I believe that the Word of God has a spiritual power today to go into your heart and to transform your life. That's what I believe. I give my whole life over to preaching the Word of God because I know that to be true. And if you take nothing away from today except this one sentence, honor one another above yourselves. Outdo each other in honoring each other. Not the way you want to be honored, but the way she wants to be honored, or he wants to be honored. The way he needs to be loved, not the way you need to be loved. See, we're good at dishing out love on our own terms. But let me give you an insight today. Honor means nothing unless it's on the terms of the one you're trying to honor. You may not find it particularly important to show up to meetings on time most of the time. But if you want to honor me, to the meeting's on time. And you know what? I will feel honored and blessed by you doing it. It's just the way God made me. You know, with your wife, with your husband, with your children, what pushes their buttons and sets them off into a tantrum. And you also know what will bless. I just want to ask everyone, me included, my wife today, to walk out of here today and say, we're going to outdo each other in honoring. And you know, there is a 180 degree heart switch from it's all about me to it's all about you. 180 degrees that will eliminate so much conflict out of your family and out of your marriage. You won't believe. Outdo each other in showing honor. That's what other translations actually say.
for this particular passage. Let's get serious about having the mind of Christ. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He loved us unconditionally by sacrificing his life. So let me just give you a little bit of homework today. Your wife, your husband, your children, what are the three hot buttons that set them off? What are the things that you know you can absolutely do to annoy them? My radio producer, Max Harding, is one of these people. He's like Jesus. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Nothing seems to flap that guy. In 10 years and 5,500 radio programs, he's produced them all. We've never had one harsh word, and that's not because I'm such an easy guy to get on, right? That's because Max is just, can't flap him. And I said to Mourner, don't you wish sometimes he'd get angry or cranky? And she smiled and she said, oh, I know how to set him off. I know. Now, I've been with him for 10 years, but I don't know, but she does, right? The three things that will set your wife, your husband, your parents, your children, your aunties, your uncles, will set them off. Why don't you figure out what they are and figure out how you can not do things to press those buttons? And you plan ahead. Plan ahead not to press those buttons. There'll be far less conflict, eh? Last one. What are our responses when our boundaries are breached? When my wife steps over my boundaries, your husband or wife or parents step over your boundaries. How do we respond? Well, my easiest response is anger. If anything is in my Achilles heel, it's anger that I have to work on all the time and that God's setting me free from progressively. What's your Achilles heel? How do you respond? Do you go, women? The silent treatment, yeah? What's the matter? Nothing. Come on, I know something's the matter, nothing. The other one is disappointment. Can I tell you, disappointment is one of the most useless responses that you will ever come across. Now, initially, disappointment might be a natural reaction, but if you live in disappointment, what you're saying is, I'm going to be a victim here. I'm disappointed in you. Well, big deal. Is that going to make life better for you by being disappointed in me? Some people live in disappointment all the time. How do you react when someone you love steps over your boundaries? Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27. Hang on, I'm in the wrong chapter here. Let me go back. Some of you are already there. In your anger, do not sin. Isn't that an interesting statement? We think anger is immediately sinful, but actually the Bible says it's not. Even God gets angry and God doesn't sin. Mind you, God is slow to anger, the Bible tells us. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. In other words, if you let the sun go down on your anger, you are giving the devil a foothold. You want to invite the devil into your marriage? You want to invite the devil into your family? You want to invite the devil into your life? Go to bed angry. Go to bed with unforgiveness in your heart and see how the devil wreaks havoc in your life. I love my wife. I wouldn't swap her for all the tea in China. Some days we have an argument. Some days there are tensions. I decided, because the Word of God is powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, the Word of God has the power to change my life. I decided a while ago, I will not go to bed angry with my wife. I will try and give her a kiss. I will say I'm sorry. I will not go to bed angry with my wife. And next morning, I will wake up, and just as there are new mercies for you every day from God, you and I can decide to wake up every day with new mercies in our heart. Again, would I love to say I execute this perfectly? No. But I am convicted that God's Word changed my life. And I'm convicted that if I listen to what God has to say, my life's going to be better. I will not harbor unforgiveness in my heart for my wife or my daughter or my children. In fact, hopefully for anyone, but especially them. I want to take you to a fearful scripture now. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. I'm not going to read you the whole scripture because we're kind of running out of time. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or my sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Now listen, if you do the same thing to me seven times, I'm getting pretty annoyed with you by now. Seven times is a lot of times for you to turn up late to a meeting. Right? I'm getting really cheesed off with you. I could come up with some other words. Seven times seemed rather a lot to Peter. Peter and I are very similar personality type. Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. What? You want me to forgive her 77 times for doing the same thing? You're kidding me, right? No, he's not. He's absolutely serious. How many times has God forgiven you for the same sin? The same thing. How many times has God forgiven you in Jesus Christ at the cost of nails through the hands and the feet of his son? It then goes on to tell the parable that many will be familiar with, of a servant who had a debt to his king. The king forgave the debt and let him free, but this same servant had another servant who had a much smaller debt to him, and he chose not to forgive that debt. And the king finds out about it, and he goes ballistic. The master called that servant in and said, you wicked servant, I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay everything back that he owed. This is for you and me. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each one of you unless you forgive your brother or your sister from your heart. Let's not go with this hyper-grace nonsense of God will forgive me everything. Twice, three times, Jesus says, if you don't forgive other people, God won't forgive you. And people, the last time I checked, if God's not going to forgive me, then on that day of judgment, I am in serious trouble. Amen. I said before, hearts don't harden overnight, they harden over time. Unforgiveness is what hardens your heart. If you don't wipe the slate of your husband or your wife or your children clean you every morning, your heart is going to grow harder and harder and harder, and you won't be able to give them love, and you won't be able to receive their love. I'd love to do a whole message on receiving love. We don't have time. But we need to receive love as well as give love. Please forgive. Please forgive everything, every day, as completely as you possibly can, and think and behave as though that sin never, because that's what God does for you and me. Perfect marriage is two imperfect people who never give up on one another. A perfect family is a bunch of people who never, ever give up on each other, no matter what they do. We all know that lovey-dovey, soft passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that goes on about love. It says, love forgives everything. Love hopes all things, and love never ends. The boundaries that we set, the godly blueprint that we read about in Ephesians chapter 5. Then we talked about the boundaries that we breach, Romans chapter 12, verses 6 and 9, outdo each other in honor. And then we talked about our reaction when other people tread over our boundaries. Forgive as Christ has forgiven you. Just three really simple, a lot in we live that. We start to live them out. If we cry out to God and say, Holy Spirit, take your word today and write it on my heart so that I can live this out. I'm believing there's going to be a whole bunch less conflict in the lives of the people. Father God, thank you that some days your word hurts us. And thank you above all things that your word never comforts us with a lie. But you will always tell us the truth in love, to crash through our sin, our blind spots, our ignorance, our selfishness. Holy Spirit, I do pray today that the word that we have read and heard, you would lift off the pages, right on our hearts, so humble out, to bring a gentleness and a kindness and a love into our heart that words simply can't describe. I pray for each man and woman and child who is suffering in conflict today. I pray for our marriages and our families and our children and our parents and our wives and our husbands and our fathers and our mothers. I pray, Holy Spirit, that through your word today, you would set about transforming some lives and transforming some families and bringing some peace in Jesus' name. If you haven't received a free copy of this booklet, there's still some out there. Please grab one. It's all about seeing your loved ones come to Christ.